Got one smoking, bubbling on the inside. And appreciate if you, the Lord would help us with it. I want to write a word here on the board. The term that I've written is stings. Stings. You ever had a wasp sting? Or a bee sting? Well, that's what I want to talk about this evening. A lot of them here in Missouri. You ever had one chase you? When I was young, grew up in Iowa, was driving a tractor pulling a hay rake one time. And ran over a bumblebee nest. And they were in the ground. And it came boiling up out of there, and I jumped off and started running. Ran as hard as I could go for 100 yards. And as soon as I stopped, he hit me right there. I wouldn't have thought that a bumblebee could fly that fast with those little wings. But he did. And you know what that does to you? I mean, everybody who saw me could tell something had happened. It makes a little red dot in the center, and then it's all swollen up and red. And it hurts. It's painful. A lot of different kind of bees in the world. But the venom has a kind of similar function with nearly all of them, most of them. The venom has something in it that attaches to the red blood cells in your body. And that makes it immediately go to your spinal cord and your brain, and that's where you register pain. And, of course, that's the purpose of it. The wasp and the bee is trying to tell you, stay away from here. And if you don't, something's going to hurt. For most of us, the pain is temporary. Well, it can be longer. There are people who go into anaphylactic shock from a bee sting, and that's life-threatening. Closes up your airways and changes the way your heart beats, and there have been people who have died from it. But most of us don't have that reaction. Most of us just get the pain. Feels like you stuck a red-hot needle in there, and then it starts expanding from there. It's very rapid. And your body reacts to that by sending fluid to the spot to try to dilute the poison. And, of course, that's what we call swelling. That's why that takes place. It's really, for most of us, not very dangerous, depending on where it is. But it delivers a very sharp message. Leave me alone. Oh, and the trouble with a wasp sting over most bee stings is two things that are different. One of them is that a honeybee or a bumblebee can only sting you once because his stinger's got barbs on it, and it pulls out of his body usually when he stings you. And if you grab it with tweezers or something and pull it out, it's got a little poison sac on the end of it, and you'll squeeze some more venom in the wound. But a wasp is not like that. He doesn't have barbs, and he can smack you and smack you and smack you till he runs out of juice. And he also emits a pheromone, a scent in the air that notifies all the other wasps in the area. They need to come and cluster and go to work on you too. So it's pretty unpleasant business to get tangled up with a wasp nest. Been around a few of them and learned to work on them at night when they're all in there and they can't see you so well. Get them when their defenses are down. And I'm thinking also about this kind of odd incident. My great uncles, I guess he would be my uncle's father. He was a hunter in the West. They had a buddy, hunted together. Early in the morning, looked at the mountainside, said, let's go up there. You go separate a couple hundred yards. You go up one side and I'll go up the other, hunting mule deer. And we'll meet at the top, probably around lunchtime or something like that. And he said he got about three-fourths of the way up. And he heard his buddy snorting and carrying on. And what in the world's the matter with him? And he went over there and he was throwing rocks back down the hill. He can't kill a mule deer with rocks. So what is bothering you? Well, he ran into a yellow jacket nest. Have you ever seen those big nests like they have in the West, kind of papery and hanging down? And he said, what in the world did you do it for? I wasn't bothering you. I wouldn't have troubled you at all if you hadn't have stung me so much. And he ran into it and they all boiled out and stung him. And he ran up the mountain and he was angry about it and he's throwing rocks back down, trying to knock them down. Well, the stings that I'm thinking of tonight, of course, are not wasp stings. But where are some stings that we get in life? The wasp didn't set that there as a trap for my great uncle's friend. They didn't intend just to sting him. They didn't have any animosity toward him. They just were being wasps. But if he runs into them, or you run into them, or I run into them, you're going to get stung. There are people who are like that too. Did you know it? They're not necessarily just angry at you. They sting anybody that gets close to them. Because I think of some people's words have stingers in their feet. And they can inject the venom, and it does just about the very same thing to us emotionally as these wasp stings do. It's very rapid dose of pain, and sometimes it's pretty serious pain and inconvenient. It's hard for words to kill you, but they sure can change your life. They sure can make you feel differently about somebody or about a circumstance or a situation. And I've advised folks sometimes, you're not smart to regard that person who hurt you today as just having a grudge against you. That's not what this is about. They're just hanging there on a tree, and anybody who gets close to them is going to sting them because they sting everybody who comes around. And if you don't want to get stung, don't stir them up because that's what's coming if you do. But some people like that, aren't they? Well, I'm thinking in particular concerning the 23rd Psalm. You know it, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the comparison is between a shepherd and the sheep, and the protection that the Lord gives to the sheep, which is critical. And among the other things that are said in that psalm, in the 5th verse, David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have a copy of Philip Keller's book at home, which is titled A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Maybe some of you have read it. And he has some interesting things to say about that particular verse. If you strictly divide the 23rd Psalm, it falls into two sections. One is a comparison between a shepherd and a sheep, and the other is between a servant and his Lord sitting down at a table together. And this second falls in that category, really, technically. But I refer at any rate to Mr. Keller's writing concerning it because it fits. Even though he's really not quite talking about sheep, but everything in the Bible is talking about sheep in a way. So I'll use it that way, like Philip Keller did. He was an experienced sheep man, and this is what he said. Parasites that trouble stock and make their lives a misery. You know, summertime is a beautiful time for us. I always enjoy the summer. I enjoy watching the leaves turn green when the summertime's coming along. But I always have in the back of my mind here in Missouri that along with summer come the ticks and the chiggers and the gnats. In another way, I'm kind of glad when the frost starts getting on the leaves and you don't feel so bad about going out in the woods anymore. I visited Myrtle, Missouri several years ago at the occasion of their meeting there. I went out in the woods by myself, really in the pasture, to pray. Where I lived in Iowa, there weren't any chiggers. I didn't really know what they were. And so I went out there and had my prayer, and the Lord blessed me real good. And we left for home that afternoon, and I noticed I felt something strange. There's something crawling on me. And by the time I got home, I estimate I had over 200 shaker bites just from my waist down, and they didn't stop at the waist. And folks advised me, you know, you can sleep in bacon fat and salt. So I rubbed that all over. I had to go to work every day, and I rubbed that all over me. I found out that shaker bites are worse than mosquito bites. They're nasty little things. Their venom liquefies the flesh, and they suck that out, and that's what they live on, and make a bigger welt, and it itches longer and lasts longer. So I love the summertime, but I don't love the ticks and the chiggers, and they always go together here in Missouri, etc. Well, that's what Mr. Keller's writing about. There are parasites. They don't only bite people. They bite animals, too. Anybody shoot a deer in the fall, it's usually got ticks all over it. I've been told that quail aren't as plentiful in some parts of the country because chiggers kill all the little ones. And I thought, what a hard way that would be to have to die. Well, but we're thinking of sheep. Things that bother them, warble flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats. He didn't mention horse flies, but I will. Have you ever had a horse fly bite you? That's not any fun at all. And they'll chase you. Gnats, little bitty rascals, you can spray DEET all over yourself, and it's like the gnats enjoy that. It doesn't seem to repel them at all. And they've got a bite, too. Nose flies in particular, Mr. Keller spoke with them. He said, when these are present, sheep become frantic, stamp their feet, run back and forth. Have you seen horses doing that? Sometimes cows in the field. Well, there are different kinds of insects that are bothering them, but it's the same principle. And the reason is because, and this is kind of disgusting, if that nose fly can lay his larvae in the soft, moist tissues of a sheep's nose, the little larvae, slender and wiggly, just actually burrow a trench back up through the sheep's sinus cavities into their brain, and the brain becomes inflamed, and they'll butt their heads against trees and rocks and in the dirt and run into the bushes and do anything they can to relieve the itch and the pain of what's going on inside their head. They don't have hands like we do. It wouldn't do us any good with our hands either, because you can't change something that's done that inside your mind or inside your skull that I'm speaking of. That's a terrible thing. And Mr. Keller said what he would do to protect his sheep was to create a mixture of sulfur and linseed oil and tar, and he spread it all over the sheep's nose and his ears, and he said it's amazing the difference that it makes. The sheep that were frantic just before now can graze peacefully. I've read others who wrote about this same kind of thing, and they said these particular shepherds would keep a bucket of oil, olive oil or other kind of oil, and to take that sheep, each one of them, and get them firmly in their grip and just plunge their whole head clear down in it and hold it there for a little bit till their whole head is soaking with the mixture, because that repels the insects and it keeps them safe. Well, the scripture said, thou anointest my head with oil. And I have a burden this evening. It won't take too long, I hope, but I would like to express it, ask your liberty. I'm concerned about the stings that we get along the journey of life. You ever been stung? You ever been stung? What's the point in blaming the sheep if they got a sting and a swelling? We're people, and people can insult us, and they can hurt us. I don't know anybody who doesn't react with at least withdrawal from pain. Nobody wants them. You get in a wasp nest, nobody has to tell you what to do. You go somewhere to get away from it in a hurry, won't you? If people do that to you too, it hurts. It hurts, and there isn't any point in blaming the sheep. The Lord didn't command us. Now, I want you to be so strong, you set your will and your purpose. No matter what anybody says to you, you won't have any swelling. You won't feel any of these peptins and going to your neurotransmitters and your red blood cells No, you just grit your teeth and make your will strong and it won't pass through your bloodstream. That's not the purpose at all. It's the grace of God. It's something greater than we are. Something outside ourselves. And if someone has gotten stung somewhere, what's the use to go around your friends and they look at you and say, "My, what's that big lead lump on your head?" And say, "Oh, there's no lump on my head. That didn't bother me. No, there's nothing. My eye's all swollen shut and I can't see out of it." And say, "What happened to you?" "Oh, nothing happened to me. I'm just fine. Everything's just..." And their eyes all swollen shut. You can't see out of it. If you bend over, it makes your head hurt. Something has happened. And it did hurt. And it makes a difference. And if you want to just keep going like you are, after a while, the swelling will probably go down. And you'll be able to see out of it a little bit better. And you'll be left with a painful memory. But some people get stung in ways in life. In life. Some people just actually get stung hard enough. And they're allergic to it. Some people can take being hurt and insulted better than others. Some people, it'll just nearly kill you. The very first time it happens, it'll just nearly kill you. I'm talking about people stinging us now. And events happening, being rejected, being something sharp said to you. You ever had somebody say something sharp to you that just cut you to the quick? I have. Being keeping stiff upper lip is not the answer, folks. Oh, we need some courage, all right, to go to heaven. We need to not be capsized by every little wave that the devil throws in our path. But that's not the answer. We need to go to the shepherd and get him to dip our head down in the oil, because there's something there that'll heal the sting. And you can go to the shepherd, and I can, every morning before the sting gets there. We can go to the shepherd and he'll dip our heads in the fresh anointing of his gentle Holy Spirit. Oil's always been a symbol of the Holy Ghost in spiritual things. We can go to him in prayer and he'll dip our heads so that whatever the stings of the day may be, you've got victory and grace to just go right on through it and live for the Lord anyway. So I want to challenge us tonight in the fear of God, respectfully, to look into our own hearts and see where we are. If you're carrying some sting somewhere, you need some healing of it. It's better to admit it and to get healed of it than to ignore it. "Oh, there's nothing wrong with my eye." And everybody can see it's swollen up. You know how you can tell when it's swollen up? When you're standing up on the hillside throwing rocks back down. Something bothered you. Something hurt your feelings. And every time that person's name comes up, you may not say anything, but there's some negative in your heart. You don't like hearing of them doing well. You don't like hearing that they've succeeded. You don't like or want to be around them and get any more of that. That's because of something stung. You need some help with it. It's not just gritting your teeth. It's not just saying that it didn't happen. No, no, friends. He anointeth my head with oil. Every one of us are subject to be hurt in our carnal abilities. The Savior promised to deliver us from that. Look what he bore. You consider him, the scripture said, who endured such contradiction of sinners. It's hard to be contradicted more than the Lord was. They told him he was an illegitimate child. They told him he was a man gluttonous and a winebibber. They told him he was a friend of publicans and sinners. They told him that he had no authority to do the things that he came to do in the work of the Lord. By what authority does he? Told him he had no right to heal on the Sabbath. His very disciples, coming right on his heels, came and questioned him. After all he'd done to try to help him, came and questioned him. "Will you put one of us on the left hand and one on the right when you come in your kingdom?" At the very last, he went the whole journey without anybody to stand beside him. All the way. All the way. And none of the stings showed. It could have. There's a reason why the Lord went three times to pray when he was there in the garden in Gethsemane. There's a reason why he did that. Have you ever done that with a trouble that you have? prayed until you feel like you prayed through. He was looking at the cross. He was looking at getting his head dipped in oil, being able to forgive those people for what they were about to do to him. And he prayed until he felt like he'd won the victory. And he came down where his apostles were and decided, maybe I better go do this again. I need some more. I need another help. And he went back the second time and he prayed and came back again and found him asleep and had to forgive him for that. And he went the third time and prayed. And that time when he came back, he was able to say, I'm ready now. And he went through the whole thing with victory. Stood right there in Pilate's face. Pilate ready to condemn him and destroy his life, and him busy dealing with Pilate's soul, doing his best to try to help him, disregarding the peril that he was in. Oh, that's the sweetness that mothers need with their children. That's the attitude that every employer be glad to see with the working men who come on his job. May not even know that he needs it, but he does. And folks, there's no other way to get it but through the living grace of God. There are things that sting us in life, and they hurt. They're made to hurt. The old devil's got stingers in his feet, I could say. And it transfers quickly, and it hurts badly. If you got some stings that you've been carrying, I want to invite you this evening, carefully and humbly examine your own heart. See where you are. You know, typically when we have an altar service, someone comes down here, someone else comes down to pray with them. And that's appropriate. I've done it many times on myself on both sides of the altar. And do it again when I have occasion to. But what I'm talking about tonight, you don't really need anybody to pray with you. What you need to do, any of us who's got some sting somewhere, is just come to the Lord and ask Him to give you grace. Dip my head again, Lord. Give me the grace to forgive them. The reason it's hard to forgive them is because there's still some sting there. I need to pray about it till the sting is gone. Well, someone can pray with you, and it's not wrong to pray with you, but you can pray that prayer by yourself. Pray it anywhere. In fact, it's good for us to learn how to do it, develop the frequent capability of praying through the things that happen to us along the journey of life that hurt us. You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody told me one time, I wish that you would stand for the truth like your daddy did. I had to go somewhere and pray about that. I'm a man, a human, and I'm capable of feeling things. The Lord helped me. I could say the Lord helped me and have this testimony. If it weren't true, I wouldn't be able to be here today. And if it weren't true that the Lord helped me, you could see welts and stings all over me. And if the Lord hadn't helped you, I can see some stings on you. It always amazes me the way hypocrites are. Have you ever thought about it? Just come to meeting and think that what I really haven't got is not going to show through. Can you come to meeting with bee stings all over your face and somebody slap you on the back and there's a big welt there and nobody know it? No, if you got things that are unforgiven, if you got things where the poison is still there sending pain, it'll show through. People will see it. And you can justify it by all kinds of things. I'm not really mad. It's just righteous indignation. I wasn't angry. I was just aggravated. All those catchphrases, it's better to get your head dipped down in the oil. That's where the grace is. You can come up from there and you don't have any righteous indignation and you're not aggravated anymore and you're not mad either. Innocent, full of love. Do you know what the Bible said we are to be with one another? He said the sucking child would play on the hole of the rattlesnake. And he meant by that the rattlesnake could have his disposition changed so it didn't want to sting anybody anymore or bite them with his kind of venom. Also means that if a little child gets bitten by something, because not everybody's going to get that kind of grace, well, we got something up on a pole we can look to. And anybody who'll look to it can get healed. You can die if you'd rather. A lot of folks did when they were camp there among the snakes. But you can look up and get some healing. If you're healed of it, does it hurt you anymore? You can go on and do whatever you were doing, can't you? That's my thought this evening. I say it with fervency and sincerity because I have burden. I feel like the old devil stung some folks by one means or another. And I felt like in praying about the evening worship service that the Lord wanted to give some of us an opportunity to pray and get some healing. Put yourself in His place. He died for this. And He's got the oil right here. And He loves you. He loves you, and it hurts Him to see you walking around with wasp stings here and there. So unhappy, so in pain, it hurts Him. But if you won't come and let Him dip your head, He doesn't force you. There's nothing for Him to do but just weep some tears over you. Invite you when He has opportunity to do so. That's what we do too, isn't it? Very same thing. Very same thing. See folks get hurt, stung. Love them. Do anything we could to help them. And what is there we can do? Offer you the oil. That's all there is. That's all there is. But there's a promise with it. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know at what stage of David's life he wrote that. But I do remember the story of Shimei standing on the hill while David was running for his life, shaking his fist at him and yelling, "Thou bloody man." And the men with him said, "Let me go take that man's head off his shoulders." He said, "No, let him alone. Maybe the Lord," said, "curse David. Maybe the Lord will look at the thing that stung me if I'll get the grace." And the scripture said, "Requite me a blessing." Did you know that's what the Lord wants to do? When we're patient through trial, I could say when we come and let the Lord dip our heads in the oil, He will grant us a blessing that lasts beyond that moment. It's recorded over in heaven. It is the plan that He made for His people to live. I want to invite you this evening. If you got some stings somewhere that have been hurting you and troubling you, won't you consider what the Lord wants to do for you and give Him an opportunity to heal it? To heal it. And if you come up here to pray, if we all, everybody here, one or many of us come up here, don't be disappointed. If nobody comes to pray with you, you don't really need that. What you need to do is just come and say to the Lord, "This one hurt me. Be honest enough to admit it. This hurt. I haven't handled it very well. Sheep don't handle stings very well." Of course they don't. Give me the oil. How quick He'll be to hear that. You remember that man who just smote on his breast there in the temple? And he said, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's a cry that the Lord can't resist. He'll do something to help us, whoever we are, whatever our need is. And might say, "Well, that's shameful. It's embarrassing to admit that I have something that's bothering me. If I go up there, everybody's going to know." What's shameful is to have your eye all swollen shut and go around and say, "Nope, nothing wrong with me. I can see fine. Everything's all right." If you got something that's bothering you, it's better to get it clear. You know, I love you folks. Lord, help me. I love you so. And I know the devil does all he can to get little stings between us. People say things and misunderstand. A classic example of misunderstanding, repeat it to you once again. Man's child was sick. Called for the ministers to come. Been a long time ago. One brother and his wife gathered up their things and went over there. Come in the door. Come to pray for your child. Brother said, "Well, prayer's always in order." But the other man misunderstood him. He thought he said prayer's already been offered. So he turned around and went out. Because he thought he'd been rejected. And the fellow that he came to pray for said, "Well, he came here and as soon as I spoke to him, he wouldn't even pray for my child." And the other fellow went away and said, "You know, I went over there to pray for his child and he wouldn't even let me in to pray. He said, prayer's already been offered, and it was nothing but the devil in the whole business. And I tell you, the devil gets in between the words that leave my mouth and the time they get from here to hit your ears, and vice versa. Folks, we got to go to heaven. And we're the people that have got to do it with each other. The whole bunch of other people around here live in this community, and they won't come to meeting with us. We invite them every time we have a general meeting, and they won't come. We're what we've got to live with. And we need the Lord to help us to be very sweet and gentle and understanding with each other. Of course we have different backgrounds. Of course we have different views on life. That isn't what draws us here. It's the Lord. It's our connection with Him. It's our love for each other. And the things that are different about us, we can use to irritate one another if we choose to do so. Or we can also use it as something blessed from which we learn about each other. For instance, we don't have any Chinese folks in our congregation. No, I've lived in the city more than some of us here have. And that makes a difference in the way I think about things. But that's nothing compared to the difference between me and Mandarin Chinese would be. Did you know the Lord wants people from India and Africa and everywhere else to all be able to worship together? Because we have one spirit and because we love one another. And the only way we can possibly do that is if we're tolerant with one another. And the way we get tolerant with one another is come to the shepherd, because we haven't got sense enough to know how to do it ourselves, and let Him duck our head. And feel like you're going to drown in there, but you won't. You won't. He'll get you out in time. And it'll coat your whole head. And the grass tastes so good when you don't have to worry about the bees stinging you while you're getting into it. Have you ever seen somebody? Looks to me like there are people about us that grieve when I say these things. Just about as frantic as those sheep that Mr. Keller was talking about. Banging their heads on the wall. Things just nearly drive them wild with the trouble they have in their spirit. And they can't relieve it. And I don't know what to do with it either. The Lord's got an answer. Oh, the Lord's got an answer for us, folks. He said, peace I give you. My peace, He said, not such as the world giveth. The world's answer to many things is to, you know, try to make people treat you better. And that's a never-ending task. I throw this in here. It is harder to bear an insult against someone you love than to bear an insult against yourself. Did I say that so it makes sense? You love your children. Or you love your parents. Somebody insults you, you might just shove it off. But when they say something about your child or your companion or someone very dear to you, that's hard to bear. It doesn't make any difference in the Lord's sight. And it doesn't help us climb up on the side of the mountain and throw rocks back down at them. You can't defeat the devil with rocks. Lord, help us this evening. Thank you for listening to me. And if you would, please, let's stand and sing a song. And if you got some sting somewhere, come and ask the Lord to dip your head in oil. He wants to heal you.